Okay, thank you everybody that is tuning in for this episode of Yellowtail Talks Tech. I'm excited today because I get to hang out with my old pal Grant Schonkweiler. And just a quick backstory. I met Grant when he was a student at a university that I was working at some 13, maybe 15 years ago, man. And he was studying game development and went on to an incredible career in games, still working in games, but he is now the founder of Schonk Ventures, where he wears a lot of different hats. He does leadership training. He does a lot of production consulting. And, you know, Grant, you were always good at networking and everything, but I think you are probably like my networking hero and go-to guy for the topic of networking now, man. Is there anybody you don't know?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, I think one thing the main tip I feel about networking and thank you, Rob, for the intro. And, you know, you were my original networking guru. So I learned from you and then I feel like I've mastered the craft. So thank you for that. You know, one of the main tips of networking is like when you see somebody you don't know, go say hi, right? You never know who they're going to be, right? I've gone up and said hi to someone and they're, you know, at a big conference, game conference, and they said, oh, I'm a student and maybe I can help them out a little bit in that moment. But I've also gone up and said hi to somebody and they're the executive of a company that I've always been interested in working with. And then next thing I know, I have their email or their cell phone number and we're talking about collaborating and working together on stuff. This happened to me at the Game Developers Conference in March. I just saw somebody. I said, oh, that guy kind of looks familiar. I don't really recognize, like, I don't know him. And I just walked up, introduced myself. And as we were talking, he said, oh, wow, what you do sounds super interesting. You know, can we talk about that more in the future? Gave me his business card, you know, contact information, and it went from there. So that that desire to just meet people, even if you're a more introverted person, you know, people are really interested in meeting each other, right? And I know that it can be hard if you're really introverted, but if you see it as just making friends and not like a professional, you know, working up the ladder type situation, it's a little bit easier. And then the other big tip, especially for introverted people, that I tell them is just ask questions, you know, just it doesn't have to be about you. Just walk up and ask somebody, hey, why are you here at this networking event or this conference or whatever? Usually you're at something where you all have something in common, right?
Right.
For me, it's games. Right. I can walk up and just say, hey, what game are you playing lately? Right. And that starts that conversation. But asking people questions about themselves really kind of opens that door pretty quickly to build a relationship and a friendship that could turn into a professional situation.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I mean, that pretty well sums it up. Thank you for being here. We'll it's amazing. Like I remember Steve Derrick, you remember Steve, and he used to always say like, you know, people look at networking as like a burden, like something that they have to do in order to succeed or in order to get a job or whatnot. And he's like, his take was, you know, you should want to network because you're finding like-minded people that are talking about things that you too are passionate about.
Yep.
It's kind of like, you know, you and I could sit down and talk about like bookstores and books. We both love to read and go to cool bookstores and stuff like that. Not because we plan on writing the next great American novel. Well, you might, but I don't. No. But, you know, it's because we're passionate about that. And right. And I think that's one of the ways that people bond, and they kind of think too much about what's in it for me or how is this going to turn out or is this a good thing for me to do, instead of just, like you said, being friendly to people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting. I have a funny story around that specific thing. So I have a former boss who I worked for, and she founded a studio, and we had a conversation when she first founded the studio about me going to work for her. And I said, you know, I'm not really interested in that at this time. Well, she left and started another very well-funded company. And she texted me and said, hey, can we have a call? Right. And I said, sure. We hadn't talked in a year or so. And so we jump on this call together, and for 52 minutes, we just talked about things we're both interested in. She really likes concerts. I like to go to concerts. We're talking about music. We're talking about games. We're talking about all this stuff. And we kind of go through this conversation for 52 minutes. And then at the end, I said, wait, why did you want to talk to me? And she goes, oh, you know, I want to offer you, you know, a position that's like pretty high up at this company if you're interested. And we're like, oh, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really interested, but I have somebody. And I ended up, you know, passing someone to her that ended up taking that job, which again, that's kind of networking as well. But
yeah,
that ability to connect on things that are not, not just the here's why we're here specifically, but eventually more about that person, builds that trust really quickly in that relationship. And then we think about that person, not just as, you know, a programmer or a tech person. We think of them as, you know, a complete human being. And so when someone asks me, oh, do you know someone who does X? I say, oh yeah, I have this connection with this person because we're passionate about this thing as well. And you can connect each other that way. So
yeah,
finding people who are you know, like-minded, not just about why we're here, you know, the tech that we're working on together, but other things as well, is a great way to build a stronger networking relationship.
So, you know, it's interesting. And we talked about this when we saw each other recently, and we're talking a little bit about how times have changed. You know, it's like what the first few conferences that you went to, you know, you were busy running around trying to meet people, doing your thing. And now that you've been at it for a while and you're so well connected, like people are coming to find you. So it's kind of, it's all part and parcel of building your brand. Right. Can you talk about that for a little bit? How would you describe the Shonk brand?
Well, the first aspect is I wear something people recognize. So I'm wearing a rugby jersey because if we go way back, the story is I was a poor college student at my first conference, and I got invited to something that required a nicer clothing. And all I had was a collared shirt was a rugby jersey. I wore that. The next day at the conference, all these people I saw were calling me the rugby jersey guy. And so that became my brand, right? So that may be a physical aspect. I know people who wear, you know, like a hat of a certain kind, or maybe, you know, something that makes them physically memorable. So that can be part of your brand. But the other part of your brand is, you know, who you are, what you do, what you strive to be doing, right? There's a reason, I'm sure, Rob, you've told your students this. We don't tell you to go out and tell people that you're a student. We go out and tell you to go to these things and tell people what it is you're aspirationally wanting to do. I remember my first business card I showed to Rob, and it said student, and Rob said, don't do that, right? Don't put student on there. Put what you want to be doing. And and this is one of my favorite things to go back to. So I made my next business card, and I came to Rob and I showed it to him, and I said, what do you think of this one? And it said on there, Grant Schonkweiler, programmer, designer, producer. And you said, that's too many things, you got to pick one. and so I did. I left my business cards as they were because I, you know, I couldn't afford to print more. But I went around and told people I was an audio programmer specifically. And you know, when I was at this big conference, there were all these other students in line, and they would say, "Oh, I'm a programming student." But I would walk up and I'd say, "I'm an audio programmer," and they'd say, "Oh, like, tell us about what that means," because I've said something different. Yeah. You know, a lot of people were coming up and saying, "I'm a student who wants to be a gameplay programmer," but I just would say, "I'm an audio programmer." And then, of course, they'd look at my business card and say, "Why are these other things on here?" Yeah. Which,
because I'm poor,
which sparked a conversation. But you know, I love to go back to Rob and say, "In your face, I've done all those jobs now, so it worked out." So yeah, being distinct about that specific thing of what you want to be doing. If I walk up to you, you know, at an event and I say, you know, "Hey, I'm Grant. I'm a leadership coach." And I say, "What do you do?" You can say, "I'm a AWS person, but I'm still in school," right? That's fine to say that on the end, but say what it is you're aspiring to be.
Yeah.
And you know, what you are learning to be, because that's what you are now.
Yeah. And be proud of it, you know, be proud and be confident. And, you know, I think I say this all the time. Part of being confident doesn't mean that you feel like you know everything. That's arrogance.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think confident people feel confident in their ability to find the answers or to accomplish the task because, number one, they're humble enough to know that they've still got a lot to learn.
Yep.
And, you know, especially in the tech world with the, you know, with the system admins and the cloud engineers that we're working with here at Yellowtail, resourcefulness is something that is extremely important, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember you guys telling me with programmers in the past that what makes you good at your job is your ability to find the answers, not that you have all this coding language embedded into your brain already. But you have to go out there with each new challenge and figure it out.
Yeah. Let me tell you the most ridiculous story around this, right? Like, your ability to solve problems and learn is so powerful. It's more powerful than any specific technical skill that you will learn. I started in the industry as a programmer. I became a designer, a lead designer, a producer, an executive producer. I've had a lot of different jobs all in the game industry, but it's because I'm able to learn so well that I'm able to kind of move into those different situations. And when I had left Epic Games, I was trying to decide what I wanted to be doing. I took a 6-month sabbatical. I was staying with some friends in Sydney, Australia. Both of them were contractors. They were freelance employees of a game company. And I said, wow, what you do is pretty cool. We went to the beach in the middle of the day and they went to the beach with me. We hung out. And then like while we were on the train going back to their house, they were like doing their work or whatever. And I said, how do you get into this like freelancing thing? And they said, if someone asks you to do something and maybe you don't know how to do it, just say yes. Right. And my friend said, if someone comes to me and says, can you make cupcakes for my party? I say, yeah. And I'm going to make the best damn cupcakes you've ever had, but I may not know how to make cupcakes. And they're not a baker. They're also in the game industry. But what they're saying is sometimes people will ask you to do something that isn't totally aligned with what your skills are. But it gets you in the door, right? So fast forward to a little bit later in my career, I've started my own business. I'm fairly successful at this stage, but I'm always looking for clients. My wife and I were in Paris visiting my her friend's parents. They were letting us stay with them. And her and the dad said to me, hey, you're a tech guy, right? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, hey, so can you build my company a website? And I'm like, you bet your ass I can. had I ever built a professional website of the caliber that they were going to need there, an aerospace company? I said, no, but I said, yeah, right. I went and built the website. I built it in half the time I had said I was going to build it, on budget and above the quality that they expected, right? And they said, hey, will you be our tech consultant? I don't know what that means, but sure, why not? And then they paid me $2,000 a month to work with them for like 3 to 4 hours a month to just consult on technical issues that they were dealing with. And sometimes I could answer those questions right away. Sometimes I went to Google. Sometimes I asked other smarter tech friends. But yeah. I just said yes when the opportunity arose, right? And when I went to Paris on vacation, did I expect to get a client out of it for a year? No,
right.
I just went to explore the country. So, you know, you're always kind of open to those opportunities when meeting people. You never know who it is you're going to meet or what opportunity they're going to bring to your life.
I love that because it's so true. And I think that, you know, I think good opportunities are presented to the, or I should say good opportunities are created for the right people as well. And one of the big things that I would love to hear your take on is, you know, much like we used to experience back when we were working together, that lack of experience, you know, you have some really practical and good, you know, academic experience that mirrors what you'll do in the industry. Our students have the same thing. They go through an apprenticeship where they're in the they're down in the mud, man. They're like having to figure this stuff out and becoming very resourceful and everything. But when they go out there, you know, they really have maybe about a year's worth of practical experience where, you know, the majority of companies are looking for that 3 and 4 year experience. Now, we all know that, you know, it's easier to convince somebody that you're the guy or the gal without the experience verbally than it is on that piece of paper we call a resume.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on kind of overcoming that objection?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, and I think you told me this, is like you use that practical experience, right? Like a lot of people coming out of an academic setting have no practical experience. So having that apprenticeship gives you already a step up. And I just applied for jobs that said 2 to 3 years, right? What's the worst that's going to happen? They don't get back to you. I think I probably applied to over 100 jobs, before I got my first couple interviews. And, a lot of those jobs were looking for somebody who was like mid-level, but I thought I could do the job, right? And so I would apply via resume, and, you know, not all of them got back to me. Some of them got back to me and said, hey, you know, we expect a little bit more experience. But once I started having interviews, again, shot out over 100 resumes. Once I started having interviews, those jobs that I interviewed for were 2 to 3 years experience. And I didn't have that, right? And so once I was in that room, I was able to talk about my ability to learn, my ability to get up to speed really quickly on things, and why I felt confident, again, not arrogant, confident in my ability to fulfill the desires of a 2 to 3 year experience job requirement, right? And so it is about salesmanship, right? You are selling yourself, but exuding that confidence and the ability to answer any technical questions that might be brought up to you, but also the humility of, I know I'm not exactly what you said you wanted on the resume, but I'm in the room with you, so clearly you saw something interesting about me. Here's how I'm going to get there, right? So if you hire me, you know, this is my first job. I have this 1 to 2 years practical experience behind me. But you want somebody with 3 years experience. I'm going to get there in a year, right? I'm going to get there in 6 months. And here's how I'm going to get there, right? And that's fine to think about. And that's great to talk about in an interview. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to interview for a lot of jobs that are much higher requirements than what I had at the time. And through those things that we just said, able to convince people that I was the right person for the company, right?
Do you think that you got those opportunities in large part due to the brand that you had created?
Yeah, definitely. I think that specifically my first job was because I was present. So there was a game company that would come down. Rob would bring them down to the campus every few months, maybe every six months. And I was just always there. Every opportunity I got to be in a physical presence or nowadays even in a digital presence with people, I was there. And I would always ask one or two questions. And then afterwards, I would go and thank the people who came from the studio for being there. That was it. I wasn't buying them presents. I wasn't, you know, putting on a big show. I didn't walk in with a big hire me label on my shirt or anything like that. And so by the time I got to that interview, by the time they saw my resume, they had a face to connect to that. And by the time I got to that interview, I knew the two guys interviewing me. I knew them, right? I wasn't like...
You had already engaged them for the first time.
Right, right. Yeah. And that has been my experience my entire career, is that by the time I get to the interview, I know at least one or two people that are going to be interviewing me. And they are my champions at the company. Even now with my own business, same thing. It's a lot of word of mouth of how I spread my business. And so a lot of that comes from one or two people being in a studio, having worked with me somewhere else and saying, hey, this Grant guy knows what he's talking about. We should bring him in and have him help.
Yeah. So you said something a minute ago that I'm glad you said, you know, you said even now digitally, I mean, back in when you were first getting started and everything was kind of like at the advent of the big social media boom, and people were starting to figure out how to use it to market and themselves and all of that kind of stuff. And we both have a lot of great stories of people that got noticed because of their use of Twitter or whatever, and you know, got jobs based you know, on their use. A lot of people now, especially with like Facebook and whatnot, it's kind of like, yeah, whatever. But LinkedIn is still like an extremely important tool. And how do you take these principles that you're talking about, you know, being friendly and being engaged and everything? How do you transfer that into the digital world now or into LinkedIn? You know, I always say LinkedIn is the global water cooler, you know, the global global office water cooler. And, you know, you have the opportunity to bump into anybody and everybody on there, but still people are reluctant to really get involved. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I think that's a great way to think of LinkedIn. You can use a thing like Twitter or Discord, join communities and, different areas there, go to digital conferences, whatever. Those are all valuable. I think LinkedIn is extremely valuable because, when I'm interviewing someone or even going to work at a company and I'm going to be coaching someone, I go to their LinkedIn and I see who they know. Right. And so, a large part of the value of LinkedIn is that larger network. And my ability to say, oh, okay, I'm going to interview this person I know, either worked with them or knows them. I'm going to shoot them a message and just say, hey, what do you think about Kevin? Right. And then they come back and they say, oh, you know, Kevin's great. I loved working with him. Cool. All right. So I have one affirmation of not being a total asshole from someone, which is a nice step up.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
but then the other thing I love about LinkedIn is, a lot of people add me that I've never met before and I don't really know. And, there's two types. I always say there's two types of people that add me on LinkedIn. There's the ones that just, you know, see my name and they hit connect and they go into the ether of the 5,000 plus people I'm connected to or whatever on LinkedIn. And then there's the people that send me a note and they say, hey, Grant, I wanted to connect to you for this specific reason because of, I saw this talk you gave, or I read your book or whatever it is. And then they ask me a very, very specific question, like, what are you working on right now? Or, I would love your advice on X or whatever that is. Immediately, I have like a real connection with that person that I didn't have with the other 500 people who just sent me a friend request, right? Or if I met them somewhere, they send me a friend request afterwards, a connection request on LinkedIn, and they say, hey, Grant, I met you here. I asked you this specific question. Boom. Okay. I can register, even if it's on Zoom, right? Like I do a lot of Zoom networking events still. And people will message me and say, hey, I met you on this Zoom. You said this thing, or I was just in the same room with you. I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to talk to you. I would love to ask you this question. People are wildly open with their time, right? People that we look in at whatever industry we're in, we look at them and we think, oh my gosh, like they're an icon. They're a legend, right? You'd be shocked at the time that these people are willing to give you to have a conversation. And LinkedIn is such a low barrier of entry for that. And then there's two other things that I think are really valuable on LinkedIn as a student. You can be writing things, as long as they're intelligent, about what you're learning, about how you're learning things or what your apprenticeship is. Obviously, you know, if there are rules about what you can talk about, don't talk about those things. But, talking about what you're learning. When I was in college, I kept a blog that talked about kind of what I was learning each month. And I had one person who interviewed me say they went and read it, but most people won't. But on LinkedIn, it's much more visible, right? They don't have to go to a website. They might just see you in their feed when they log into LinkedIn. And then another thing is, I have someone who is a student who would just engage with me. So if I posted something, they would add a reply, whoa, that's cool, or something like that. And so they just were kind of visible to me. They weren't pushy. They weren't anything like that. They would ask me a question every 6 weeks or something like that. But I just kind of always had this person in my mind. So fast forward to their graduation, they made a post about it on LinkedIn. I thought, oh, interesting. There's someone I know looking for a junior person in that exact position. So I messaged them and I said, hey, are you interested in this company? And they said, yeah. And I just connected. And they got their first job, right?
And that's cool. I'm glad you said that, man, because, you know, again, it's like, that's the whole thing about networking. It's like, and especially I tell people that, you know, you're new to tech, but if you already have a network, they're already using tech. Tech affects their lives in some way. So they might not be the person you need to talk to, but they could be the person that directs you to the person you need to talk to.
Right.
So you got to kind of think globally, big picture.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's not always, they're not always the right person, but they might know the right person. Right.
Yeah.
And depending on the industry that you're in, right. Most tech industries are pretty small. You know, everybody's two people, you know, away from everybody. Just starting to build that, you know, LinkedIn community is a great way as early as you start learning. Now I talk to students and they'll be freshmen and I'll tell them, start a LinkedIn. Well, I don't have any skills to put on there. I don't care. Just start adding people. Who cares? Right?
Yeah.
It's not like it cost me anything to hit accept. Right?
Yeah. Even if you're just lurking and kind of, I think the other thing about LinkedIn that I think a lot of people kind of overlook is the power of its researching abilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can learn so much about companies and people and pretty much anything you want through all the groups and different organizational pages and stuff like that. Do you belong anymore to any LinkedIn groups? Do you, use that to get involved?
Yeah, I'm in a bunch of different ones. And sometimes it's like just a way to show my agreement with something, or sometimes it's a way to be actively involved in a community. But yeah, I definitely use that. And I also use it for research. Great example, met with a team at the Game Developers Conference in March. They said, hey, we'd really like to work with you. So I get to go on LinkedIn and I look around at who works there, how many employees they have, what kind of their role discipline is in different areas, and, you know, really try to understand who it is I might be talking to. And then I always do this. I've always done this as long as LinkedIn has existed. When an interview gets scheduled, I email the person scheduling it and I say, hey, can I have the names of the people I'm going to be interviewing with? And there's usually not a problem with that. They'll email you the names, and then I'll jump on a LinkedIn again and I'll read a little bit about that person. Not because I'm going to go into the interview and say, oh, hey, Rob, I looked you up on LinkedIn and like, I really love this thing you worked on, right? Like that can be a little weird, but I have a better understanding of who my audience is going to be. So for example, when I was interviewing at Epic, I had a bunch of different interviews, and at times I'd be interviewing with producers, at times I'd be interviewing with designers and programmers, and I needed to understand who those people were and what their like experience was enough that I could kind of tailor my answers towards more of what they were, their experiences when they were asking a question, because they could all ask the same question. Usually that happens in an interview. But because there are different disciplines, they want to hear the answers kind of geared
towards. Yeah. Them. Yeah. You got to kind of tell them what they need to hear. So what kind of, you mentioned a couple of these already, and I agree 100%, man. Anytime you connect with somebody on LinkedIn, send a note.
Yeah.
And I have quite a few people that are connecting, and half of them, I have no idea who they are, but the ones that send a note, it's funny. I tend to remember them,
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that guy sent a note. I have no idea what it said now. I can't remember, but right. He took the time to send a note. That's pretty cool. So, but other than that, like what grabs your attention? Like for people that are trying to get themselves out there and everything on LinkedIn, I remember the stories of, Kevin Yanes and some of the others that, were talking about their days and getting involved in conversations and stuff like that. And it opened the eyes of a lot of people like, wow, I need to talk to that guy. So give me an idea of give our students an idea of, what kinds of things could they be posting?
Yeah, I think, as technology announcements happen, talking about those, reading about them, and then maybe doing a quick breakdown of like, oh, this new technology is coming out, or this change has happened. That's really interesting. Talking about what you're learning specifically, for the last 2 weeks, I've been learning this and I'm excited about blah, right? When I did this, it was pre-LinkedIn days, but the blog that I had was, I wrote it monthly and I basically talked about, the classes I had that month, what I learned and how I felt that was relevant towards what my goals were as a person, in moving into the game industry. That kind of stuff is great, right? It shows me that you are critically thinking about what you want to be doing. You don't have to write these long 5,000 word essays or anything like that. I'm talking, it's still social media, so it's a shorter post. Engaging with other people, right? So say you are following, 100 people or whatever, and somebody posts something that you find interesting, reposting that and saying, starting a conversation with them, leaving a comment, really anything that kind of makes you visible to, stay in people's feeds, one, but also visible as an intellectual person, right? If you're on LinkedIn and you're posting memes or, you're posting movie trailers or something like that, I'm going to mute you immediately. But if you're in there having intelligent conversations, commenting on news relevant to what you do, I'm going to kind of keep you in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. The power of a complete profile too. I mean, recruiters are constantly running these Boolean searches looking for things. And if they find you and they see that interesting content on there and you've been engaging, I mean, it shows passion. It shows, it shows everything that they're looking for,
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such an extra little bonus to have out there.
Yeah. Having a completed profile with, a short what you want to be accomplishing, and then what you're doing and, any work experience, right? Like, I think that's what some people shy away from. Oh, I only need to put relevant work experience. Once you've got 10 years in your career, sure. But like, I'm still interested if I'm talking to a student. I actually had this conversation last week. If I'm talking to a student and they worked at, Arby's, I'm still interested to know that they worked on a team, right?
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what experience they've had in their life previously. And, if you had a career before coming here, talk about that. Talk about some of the things you learned. It doesn't matter what you were doing. It shows me, again, a little bit more about you as a person. Now, some of that stuff falls off, right? Like, I don't put that I was a sandwich artist at Subway on my LinkedIn or resume anymore. But when I was interviewing, for my first jobs, that was definitely on there. And I also talked about my lawn care business that I ran that had all of 2 employees, right? Because it was something to show that I knew how to work on a team. I knew how to be on time. I knew how to have a job.
You were reliable. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, having that profile of your life experience, again, you can start to drop stuff off that you don't feel is relevant as you get into the career more. But LinkedIn is more like a CV than it is a resume. So it can have more information, more details. It doesn't need to fit on one page. I find that really interesting to go look at someone and see what they've done with their lives,
Yeah. Yeah. I think it definitely shows credibility. And, I had a guy from NCSoft one time. I mean, there was an ongoing debate, amongst recruiters, should you put non-relevant work experience? Some recruiters would tell me, tell your students not to do this. Hmm. And then this guy from NCSoft one time told me, I won't hire anybody unless they've had a shitty job first. And I love that. And yeah. I knew exactly what he meant when he said that. It's like, what it means to be responsible, to show up. And, if you show that you've been at a job for a year, I'm going to assume that you got along with everybody and that you showed up on time and you did the work decently and, all of that kind of stuff. So I want to switch a little bit and kind of staying in the LinkedIn mode, just because right now that's the thing, man. There's not as many in-person things. I know the world is starting to come alive again, but as it pertains to recruiters, what we teach here at Yellowtail is in high demand. There are a lot of people looking for Linux system administrators or cloud engineers, AWS cloud engineers. And many times just updating their profiles and putting all their skills on there, they'll start getting pinged by recruiters and everything. Yeah. Now, obviously, they're going out and putting applications out there with these different jobs. And I talk to them about trying to find people to talk to, recruiters at the companies, blah, blah, blah. Tell me your thoughts on that. And what are good ways for them to go about following up on job applications and stuff like that?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So first off, fill out your profile and switch that looking for work tab on because it's real.
Yeah. Right?
Like as soon as you put that on, you're going to start getting pinged. Now the word, they may not be relevant, but
yeah,
but it is getting you in that algorithm of people looking. Yeah, I think, you know, if you can, you know, if you're applying somewhere and you don't know anybody there, I think it's totally fine to go on LinkedIn and try and find people that work in the first brush of viewing your resume. So that would be HR, recruiting, and maybe potentially the hiring manager of your position. I don't think I would go on and just add random people at a company because that's just a little weird. But if you're adding, you know, people in that field and saying, hey, I'm really interested in your company, I'm going to apply, you know, through your website or whatever, again, sending that note as the start, that's great. If you're not ready to apply yet, now's a great time to target companies and start adding people on LinkedIn and saying, hey, you know, I graduate in a year. I'd really like to, you know, ask you some questions about your job, right? Start connecting and building that relationship with them now. I had people who did that with me in the past, and I walked them into at least an internship at my company. And then, yeah, it's totally fine to, you know, once you have that connection, you submit your resume. Maybe you don't hear back for, you know, I would say usually around 5 days if you submit on a website. Reach out to that person that you've connected with and say, hey, I submitted a resume. I haven't heard anything back. Let me tell a story of a kind of devastating experience that I had, but also a powerful experience when it comes to this. I was working at a job, and I applied, for a game job at Bungie, and I, applied through two friends who I knew who had worked there for a long time. And I also applied through the website. So I sent them my resume, they sent it over, and then, it came through, the website. And a recruiter emailed me, you know, about 4 or 5 days later and said, hey, I got your resume. I'm ready to start the interview process. You know, we're excited to bring you on, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay. And I gave them like my availability for interviews. And then the person just disappeared. And I was like, what happened? So I waited 4 or 5 days and I emailed my friends and I said, hey, can somebody follow up with this person? Are they sick? Are they in the hospital? You know, did they go on vacation? Like what's going on? Right. And they came back to me and they said, oh, we don't know. We also sent them an email. You know, I'll be in the office tomorrow. I'll walk over and see what's going on. So it turns out the person did go on vacation and was on like a 3 week long vacation. And then they came back and said, oh, hey, sorry, I was on vacation. I meant to hand this off to somebody else and I didn't. My friends who worked there had pushed as far as they could, and got me the information that I needed. But at that point it was too late. I had already, taken a job somewhere else. So, sucked for them. I had really wanted to work there. So it kind of sucked for me, but, you know, I got a job that I was more excited about anyways. But I still followed up, right, and asked those questions every week or so. Hey, what's going on? Where am I at in the process? Can you help me out? Once I had that contact. So it's totally fine to do that if you have a connection on LinkedIn. But the sooner you can start to build those connections with those companies you're interested in, the better, because not only will they like respond to you when you ask a question, but they might actually think of you when jobs are coming up too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, when you do that as well, you've already established your brand in their eyes. And if it's the right brand, yeah, they're going to remember you. I mean, I think, you know, the number one thing about the hiring process and people hiring for new positions is not so much can they do the tech. It's more, are they going to fit in? Are they going to show up on time? Are they going to get along? You know, and those are the things, the intangibles that you can't really put on a resume, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say, you know, I'm timely and I'm organized and I'm prompt, but you know, I mean, come on. So, one last question here. And this has to do, and this is another real big one. And I know that there's a lot of different ideals and opinions on this, but what is the best way as a student? You got a lot of resumes out there. You're trying to send reminders to the recruiters and whatnot, but you don't want to, you know, how you like me now? How you like me now?
Yeah, you know,
what's the best way to keep in touch, man? How can people go about just, you know, making sure that they stay visible in the eyes of all these recruiters and you know, continue to be considered.
Yeah. You know, what I think is really important is to realize that any part of this process is also building your network, right? So even if you just have a quick conversation with a recruiter, or you get through the interview process and don't get the job, it's still part of building your network. Rob was here for this story. He knows the story. He loves this story. Rob connected me with a studio in Austin called Midway that no longer exists. And I went down there and I interviewed and I met all these really cool people. And I ended up not taking the job. And yet I met all these really interesting people. So after I finished the interview, I you know, got home the next day, I added a bunch of them on LinkedIn or social media and just said, hey, I really appreciated the time that I got to talk with you. You know, it was really insightful for me to learn about this business that I'm trying to break into. Is it cool if I ask you questions in the future? So it was like 10 people, I think I sent this email to, and all of them said, yeah, of course. So fast forward 15 years into my career, some of these guys are my closest friends in the industry. Some of them I've worked with. Some of them have taught me immensely. You know, I saw that opportunity not just as a job interview, but as an opportunity to build my network and also my own learning, right? So look at any of these encounters that you have with people as an opportunity, right? And so if you're looking at it that way, you're not going into it when a recruiter calls you, for example, and says, hey, you didn't get the job. You're not upset. You're not angry. You're still trying to maintain that professional relationship. And also ask the question of, hey, can you explain to me what I could do better to get that job in the future? Wow, that is so powerful. Every time I've ever had somebody ask me that question, I've given them an honest answer and then said, hey, is it cool if I connect with you? Because I'm asking that question, not them asking that question, because right. That shows that they want to grow, right? And maybe they will be ready to come work with me in the future. Yeah, staying in touch, asking those types of questions. And then again, you know, just asking, you know, a random question of someone that maybe you've connected with on LinkedIn that's at a company that you're interested in every once in a while is a good way to stay connected. You know, I met at that company at Midway. I met the senior HR person who was also their recruiter. Fast forward years later, she's at a different company, and I would see her at conferences and I would email her every once in a while, just, you know, like see how things were going. Maybe once every quarter, I would just send her an email and say, hey, how are things going? Fast forward like 3 years later, I'm at a conference and she goes, hey, you should come work with the company I work for. And this company was like a dream company of mine. And I said, whoa, what? And she's like, yeah, I'll walk you through the process. I'll introduce you to all the right people. And it should be pretty quick and we'll get you into where you want to work. And I'm like, whoa. And she's like, and you can do what you want to do. That's crazy. That doesn't happen to a lot of people, but it happened because I maintained that friendship. It went from a professional networking relationship to a friendship. Fast forward years later, when I quit my job at Epic and was traveling around the world, I lived in her house for a few weeks. Like we are deeply friends, right? And so, your initial conversation with someone is maybe purely professional, right? I did not approach her in a normal networking situation. She was the person sending me the emails of your flight is this and your car is going to pick you up at this place, all that kind of stuff. But then when I was there, I went over to her and I said, hey, I said, can I meet your HR person? And they said, yeah. And I went over and I said, thanks for coordinating all this stuff. It was really helpful for me. And I know there were like some exceptions. I was so young that I like couldn't rent a car, for example. And that made an impression. So I think it's powerful to, you know, maintain that friendship, that relationship. I have people who message me on LinkedIn about once a month and just ask me one or two questions, you know? So usually it's, like a question about what I'm doing and then a question that they want answered. So like, hey, how's that game that you said you were working on? Is it still going well? Okay. Yeah. And can I also ask you about X? Man, I think about those people all the time because they're top of mind. They're asking me questions. So, again, LinkedIn
and even
is
just,
a low cost
you know,
link.
Simple posts. I mean, you know, people are scrolling through their feeds and they see your post and it's like, oh yeah, you know, I remember that person, but,
right. Exactly.
And speaking of that recruiter, I miss her. Tell her I said hi.
I will.
Yeah, I haven't talked to her in years. So Dude, you know what? The student has definitely become the master. There is no question about it, man. And I really appreciate you taking the time with me. I know you're pretty busy and everything, but it's not only great to catch up with you, but to hear some of these stories and you know, kind of find out what brought you to where you're at now. And I think obviously a very big part of that was the fact that you put yourself out there. And so congratulations, man. Are there any final networking related thoughts, be it LinkedIn, be it whatever, that you would like to leave us with?
Sure. We are all meat bags walking through life together. And I think when we remember that we are just human beings, not job titles, not anything else, it becomes so much easier to connect with somebody, because it is really, really intimidating to go up to someone that you've maybe looked up to during your career, or someone that you idolize, or someone that you've heard about or has a really fancy job title, and get really intimidated. But when you walk up to them and you think, this person has to use the bathroom just like I have to use the bathroom, and they need to eat food just like I need to eat food, it really humanizes the situation. And for me, has taken situations where I would be normally very, very intimidated, and I just feel like kind of like, oh, okay, I'm just going to talk to this person. And if they reject me, they reject me. It's fine.
Yeah, so, I like that. I always go to the great cowbell sketch when I think of that. And I think of, Bruce Dickinson, you know, he puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like you. The only difference is when I put my pants on, I make gold records.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, but yeah, you're right, man. And that was a thing that really surprised me in tech in general after coming out of the music business, was the benevolence of the people. You know, most people are, like you said, very willing to help and very willing to give you a few minutes of their time. So,
yep.
All right, Grant, thank you so much once again for coming on to our little podcast, Yellowtail Talks Tech. If you don't know, I'm Rob Coble. I'm the career success coach here. And thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next month.